proximity breaking. So in other words, this is the problem of log generation with cellular model. And well, if you're thinking about the Higgs boson, then you might say, why would one want to use a gauge relativity? However, remember that it's still not a settled question whether there is a fundamental Higgs or, in fact, there is some other more complicated internal sector. So there are in principle two possibilities for doing symmetry breaking, which is the source of mass generation in the standard model. One is a fundamental scalar. Which is the Higgs boson. And the other one is related to dynamical effects. In a strongly coupled loop sector. This is known as technicolor. So it may seem that the fundamental scalar is the simpler possibility. However, people have thought for years that it's more appealing to have dynamical effects responsible for a symmetry breaking, because remember that for fundamental scalars, it's a problem that for quantum corrections, to stabilize their mass, they drive to infinity. So one can solve this problem by considering supersymmetric theory, but still there's a lot of fine-tuning involved. And so it's considered a natural thing to not have fundamental scalars at all, maybe, but just have a proximity breaking driven by dynamical effects. And the idea here is that a chiral symmetry breaking in some strongly coupled gauge theory would drive a proximity breaking. And, well, as I said, for the moment, both options are open, since there is no conclusive experimental evidence for either. But hopefully, soon that will change. So it's important to try to compute some parameters which distinguish between them, and which can be deduced from experimental observations. However, a problem with this technicolor idea is that it's related to strong coupling. So it's not really possible to compute directly in the field theory. So, for years, it has remained mostly conjectural. People have used ideas from QCD, so-called scaled-up version of QCD, to make estimates about predictions of this technicolor approach. And those estimates seem to rule out this regular technicolor. However, that was a very primitive initial point of view. And there's a modern version called walking technicolor. Walking here refers to the behavior of the gauge coupling. So it just means that it runs much slower than in a Ryan coupling. And this modern version of walking technicolor seems to be very promising phenomenologically, and it seems to be the thing that can compete with the Higgs sector. So the question is how one can distinguish between the two. And there are some parameters defined by Peshkin and Petucci. Can you see here? Okay, nobody objects, so there are so-called electric parameters, Peshkin Petucci parameters. There are three of them. And they parameterize the contribution of new physics, which could be technicolor or not. They parameterize the contribution of new physics to vacuum polarization diagrams. And in particular, this S parameter is a good test of whether one could have walking technique power or just a Higgs sector. So the goal of this talk would be to use techniques from gauge gravity duality in order to compute this S parameter so that one can have some insight into what is the driving and fluid integration. So now let me give you the plan of the talk. Well, of course, it's an input which can be skinny. Then I'll talk about the S parameter. The way it's defined until theory. Then I'll explain how to compute from gauge gravity duality. And this will be actually quite generic, so it will vary for various gravity backgrounds, so I won't specify at this point yet the background. And finally, I'll talk about the walking gravity background, which is the one that we're interested in to get a real description of walking power. So, well, this just means that the dual gauge company has a walking region. And, well, let me just mention so that people don't wonder what is this walking region. It just means that there is some intermediate range, energy range, where gauge company as a function of the energy scale behaves in a way like this. So there is some intermediate region that is called walking, where the theory is almost conformal. So here there is a very small change with energy. And the presence of this region is crucial in order to make the guitar consistent with the various observational constraints. So let me now introduce the S parameter. Or more generally, the Pesci-Micucci parameters. So in order to do that, let's first introduce some notation. So I'll introduce vacuum polarization amplitudes, which are first try it and then I'll explain the notation. Here is the momentum. And this two-point correlator, current correlator. Well, now these are the electromagnetic and weak currents in the standard model. So, well, in particular, I remember that, say, the electromagnetic current is some bilinear fermions. And, well, those currents, let me just remind those who might have forgotten, are defined so that the interaction between the fermions in the standard model and the gauge bosons moves like this. Well, there is some constant. These are the double plus minus gauge bosons. Different constant. theaters and big scenes. So the details of this don't really matter, I'm just reminding you what is the meaning of those currents. Now, so those indices A, B go over 1, 2, 3, and gamma, where gamma is the photon. So remember that we're considering the electric gauge group, which is SU2 times U1. So, there is also the assumption that the new physics comes at energy scales that are much greater than the mass of the Z. And so then, those button polarization amplitudes can be expanded in powers of Q squared. This was considered by and this in the middle, because now I'm taking to introducing this parameter.
There's another black hole.
Oh.
You can slide it down.
Well, okay, I always start. So. Okay, nice start. So, one can explain. So, again, it's the photon. And there are some general arguments why it starts from Q squared. And these are higher order even before, well, or higher. Coefficients here. And of those, three can be related, three linear combinations can be actually expressed in terms of the three parameters that can be measured, the Z mass, the fermion decoupling, and the fine structure constant. So there are three remaining combinations. And those three remaining combinations are the Pesce-Petrucci's ST new parameters.
Can I ask a question? In the standard Higgs model, the tree graphs give you the row parameter. And you don't have, you have technicolor.
Yeah.
Do you get this result? So, this is the basic result. To 0.5% before you do Higgs corrections.
Well, let me just say that those parameters are defined as a deviation from the standard model. So one assumes a reference point that is done computations for the standard model with Higgs with some particular mass, and then these things are measuring deviations from that.
Yeah. So. Which
well, I don't know all the details. That's not really. I'm just giving a motivation why I want to compute this as parameter.
But the standard, the basic result of Weinberg's ground is that rho equals 1 at the trig graph level.
Oh, you mean
before you start
the so-called sum rule or something? That's also satisfying.
So you get that from technical.
Yeah.
What he's asking is, how are you building in a custodial symmetry? That's if it's custodially symmetric.
Well, look, I guess that many things depend on the particular details, but I'm not going to address any concrete model of technicolor. What I'll talk about is true for any model of technicolor. Yeah. And later on, when I move on to walking technicolor again, it can be true to any, for any model, so I'm not going to address particular details. And I also don't know, technicolor is not my area. I'll be working on the gravity side. So, I guess that the answer to your question probably depends on the particularization, because there are various ways, various different sectors of quantum input. So, I don't know, but I think that in general it's not a problem.
We have to assume something about symmetry breaking from technical. In order to get the result of rho equals 1, rho is n w squared over
symmetry breaking comes from chiral symmetry breaking in the technicolor sector. For technicolor minus condensed. So I guess it depends how exactly you couple the technicolor sector to the very weak sector.
As long as you have a custodial symmetry in the technicolor sector, we'll get rho equals 1.
The chiral symmetry breaking mimics the usual Higgs symmetry.
I think so, yeah.
The problem, of course, is that if you don't have this walking, you get too much flavor changing.
Also the problem is that the masses of the fermions without walking are somehow too small.
Yes.
I don't know how much exactly, but I know they are not the right order of magnitude. So this walking region is somehow what enhances this domain, like a observation.
We have to fine-tune g-squared to get.
No, so I'll study the gravity background of Kestis, but indeed, if you want to achieve that, from Hume theory perspective, people could consider particular gauge theories for which it is kind of fine-tuned because, the beta function will depend on the number of colors and the number of flavors. If people consider just some SGN gauge theory plus some coupled to some fermions. So in order to have this walking region, there has to be some particular relation. I don't know, let's call it, I can go the number, but this ratio has to be something of order 1, like twice or 5 times or something. So there is a very particular relation from this perspective to achieve the walking region. But I won't be doing this. In my case, that's not going to be the case because n color would be like very large in the larger limit. Whereas then flavor for me would be just the probe rates. So that would be much smaller than this. So I'm not going to be using this meta fashion argument that people do in field theory. So I'll be studying a walking technicolor model that has the same basic behavior, but the field theory view would be something more involved. And I don't know that much about it, but I know for sure that the S parameter would be what would come from this computation. And it's still an open problem to understand better than field theory view.
Standard Higgs model doesn't have this problem. It all works.
Yeah, no, so the issue.
There are other problems, we will get to them.
Maybe yeah, the issue more. Is one point.
At this level, there isn't. The standard Higgs model works.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's not working. I'm just saying that walking technicolor works just as well.
Well.
And besides, there is a very narrow region now where Higgs would be.
But you have to fine tune this.
No, here I'm not going to fine tune anything.
You've got this flat piece.
But it's not due to fine tuning in my case. Again, I'm not going to be using these field theory arguments that were done 10, 15 years ago when people were during all this fighting, right, because you have to take a precise number of flavors and colors. That's not going to be the case in my case. So, although I guess there are also ways to realize that. I don't know. So, oh, let me just write S parameter. It's okay, some convention. No, it's this combination. Which can also be written in another way using vector and extra-vector kernels. And, well, maybe also to mention another form which I'm not going to be using but seems to be more severe in the literature. It's sum over resonances for vector and extra-vector resonances. So this is k constant and is the mass. And another problem from the field theory arguments is that people have been trying to use, again, just to rescale by something QCD case and try to make some estimates for those, but then one only can sum the first several Lorentz flying states or something, whereas in the gravity dual, one will be able to write the full resum formula for all the whole Eiffel Tower resonances. So that would be an exact answer for large n. So, okay, let me try to. How do I bring another?
Oh, you can push one.
Push it up.
Yeah. So now let me talk about the S parameter from holographic duals. So I'm most interested in this parameter because the other parameters can you seem to be more sensitive towards isospin violations, whereas this is the main parameter that really can test like the very idea of having a strong coupled sector versus just the Higgs. So this is more important in sense. So whereas those would be sensitive to say the mass differences between the various flavors. And that's not essential at any point. So, well, the idea here will be very similar to the realization of the Sakai-Sugimoto model. And to remind you, this is a holographic version of QCD. Okay, it's not exact video of QCD, but it comes very close. And it's a useful model. So, let me then, it will be very similar, so let me fastly remind just the main points of the Sakai-Sugimoto model. So one has some background created by the four grains. There are n color four grains. And then there are some flavor grains that are probes, the 8 and the 8 bar. So that means that their back reaction on the background created by the force is not taken into account, they're just props. And, well, one can find an embedding of the gate brains in this background that is of the U-shaped form. U-shaped means that there is, say, for some radial variable, when it goes to infinity, there are two separate stacks, say, VA and VA bar. But when rho goes towards zero, the two stacks join at some point. So there is some particular place, say it's here, there is a particular place where the two brains join. And that leads to chiral symmetry breaking. So because there is initially this symmetry that then gets broken to just a diagonal subgroup because of the joining of the two. So, and this is the essential feature that one wants to realize in holographic dual taking color. One wants to have again some kind of a background and probes into that background, which probes will have an embedding of this form. There will be a U-shaped form. So that then one would have chiral symmetry breaking, and that chiral symmetry breaking would translate, so in taking color, so this is a geometric realization of chiral symmetry breaking, this U-shape. And in Technicolor, this chiral symmetry breaking translates to electroweak symmetry breaking due to embedding of the electroweak SU2 times U1 into this group.
Why brains and anti-brains do not annihilate each other?
Well, the background is not completely trivial, so there are some fluxes also that I won't be talking about because they're not essential. And
so
work
this
factors.
Is
and, so this is stable configuration. And actually, for the casting model, it's not even supersymmetric. So, we want to do something similar. Can I get that for
you? You can push that in here. Okay. Use this. Use this.
Great. Specify the background at the end, but now I'll just say a few things that are general. Will be true for any background, whatever one does. So let's say take a background that's created by MCDP brains. And now put some probes that are added, say, DQ and DQR. And now we want to find. DQ DQR embedding in this background, which is a U shaped profile. So, well, at the end I'll say, later on I'll say how we do that. Now let's assume that we have that. So how are we going to compute the S parameter? Well, so we consider the PBI action of the probe rays. Chair Simon Strong, which won't be important in my case, so I won't try to speak. And so this is going to be the neighbor field standard. These are a compact cycle. So the probe rays are adding the radial direction plus some compact cycle. So then after this, we get symmetry actually form. And well, and here I use the Young's approximation to the edge, but the always ordering expansion of powers. Find a couple of questions, which are very easy to still do right now. Now, I can denote by a new the gauge potential of this film F, the Technicolor F constant. And well, let's expand the Fourier transform.
Sorry, Lilia? Do you mean those equations? Those equations of motion?
Yeah.
What's the second one?
What is it? Is it just the one you vary with respect to AMU and AR, right? Because there are components. So mu is going from 0 to 3 in the
four,
and R is the regular direction.
Yeah, which is the difference between your news and your R's.
This is R. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, the,
this is
on the indices. Yeah.
This is mu and R. Mu and R.
Sorry.
Right, that's why there is two.
Yeah, okay. Sorry.
Sorry, is it? Okay, I didn't realize that they look similar.
My bad, I was.
Works.
I like that.
Possibly.
Sorry. Oh, no. This is R, obviously. Right? Mu is like mu, so when you carefully distinguish, it's always R. Mu and mu run over the same 0 to 3 directions. R is the radial, or maybe I can call this wrong or something. So, okay, we also now take a gauge AR equal to zero. As people have done also in the space with multiple case. Now we expand this in the momentum space, the Fourier transform. And let me first try this and then I'll explain what it means, what each term means. So we expand it some basis.
You take it by simple deep of D.
Actually, you know that in order to write the full non-Abelian VI action, there are still open issues for that. So we usually just look at single.
Right, but there, the argument was that you want to think about the left weak as being embedded into an AI now. So that's why you need non-Abelian.
Yeah, but anyhow, at this stage, it's just a little factor. I mean, also, in the case of the model, one starts with this action. And I can get more detailed.
But you're using Young Lisa transmission. You're using Young Lisa transformation anyway, so can you just use no Abelian?
Well, yeah, once we have set, indeed, this can be also.
And somehow the scaling will not be important. You will have lots of charged scalings, right? I mean, if you write down low energy effective action on a broad grain, besides the Young-Mills part, there will be also scalars.
Well.
And those will be charged scalars in case of, you know, in case of non-abelian. I just don't know.
This will depend exactly whether there are couplings and such, right?
Well, you know what their couplings are. It's going to be, you know, they're going to be in their joint representation.
No, but I mean the strength of the couplings and all that.
You also know that from the GPI action, right?
Okay, but I'm not going to be computing that.
So my question, I'm just asking a very simple question. Are they important or not? Because, you know, you are discussing a particular model of Technicolor, and I don't know what are the issues there. Is it, you know, is it important or not?
Well, I don't think that it's important, but I don't know.
Well, the problem, the LHC is opening up next month, and a year from now, or 2 years from now. So when you do this, in the standard Technicolor model, you have all these extra particles on the TEV.
The thing
becomes strong on the TEV. So what you're looking for in the LHC is more particles.
Yeah, indeed. There will be also in the Technicolor also, there will be some higher power resonances.
Right.
And you can compute the masses and
you have to see the why our system doesn't work.
The other thing is
that the Technicolor model becomes stronger on the TEV, whereas the standard Higgs doesn't. So the question is, what about unitarity? Do you violate unitarity on the TEV? How do you get?
I don't know.
But this is an important point.
No, sure, there are many important
points. Doesn't violate unitarity.
I don't know. But yeah, that would be a general question for the whole Technicolor idea, right? So I don't know what to say. It's not about any particular model, it's just in general.
Because you can't compute it. The point is that it's hard to compute it in the current.
You should be able to compute it in this. You should be able to compute it in gravity.
Once you have a well established gravity fuel, then you should be able to compute.
So she's just working on the S premise.
So for the moment, I'm restricting to only a particular question.
That's a big problem.
So, yeah, so this is the first time I should say that nobody has so far computed the S parameter for walking theory, no matter from what method. So this, I don't know how realistic this will be, but in any case, it will be the first computation of an S parameter for walking theory. So, and I haven't thought about all the other questions before, which may be many, but, and this is still work in progress. So please don't need to
pass. No, it's just a...
Maybe we should let them carry on.
One more comment, the technical mind is an old point. The colors have been around a long time.
Well, the multi-technic color is more recent.
Technicolor, yeah, but walking technicolor is more interesting.
I thought that, like, initially people kind of abandoned that idea because the QCD scaling arguments seem to suggest that technicolor contradicts observations. So they kind of forgot about that. And later on, some people realized that this walking version is fine. So it took a while. I don't think the walking version has been studied as much as the regular color. But again, I'm not expert on technicolor, so I don't know. So let me finish my movie. Here, this is always R, the radial variable, right? This is not the scaling argument. So let me just say, well, first of all, this sum, these are the normalizable modes that are in the gauge fields. Whereas these are non normalizable modes. These sources for the boundary currents, which is actually what will be the important part here. And, well, I also have to explain the indices B and A. These are vector and exo vector. And actually, in order to have a geometrical representation of these, I should change variables, sorry, for this method. One can change variables from R to some other variable, which is, I don't know, but it's called. So the thing is that R is the regular variable in the background, so it's going from 0 to infinity. Whereas Z would be a variable wandering many. So the variable Z is going to vary along the embedding, so Z goes from minus infinity to plus infinity, and let's call this some zero. Could be zero. So now, the geometricalization is, again, vector and exo vector are just like in the Feynman model, they're related to parity. But in this geometric picture, parity is reflection along the embedding, reflection with respect to this point. So vector is symmetric. Under z going to minus z, and exo vector is anti-symmetric.
So are the standard model of gauge bosons in the zero mode, but not normalized
mode? No, so this is the technicolor setback, right, with the technique quarks and technique quantum pass. So the standard model is not here.
So how do you embed it?
That would be another brain, but I'm not studying that, right? So, like in this picture, if you view this as the technicolor sector, then there will be some other brain that would be the standard model. But I'm not looking at that yet. I'm just studying the technicolor sector. The only important issue is that the electric symmetry is embedded, it's part of this thing. So for the moment, I don't care about the details of the standard model, and even if I knew them, they are not going to affect this computation. So, but I don't know what they are. It's not important at this stage. So, anyhow, so now the vacuum polarization. For remember that it's basically kernel correlator, and this is the vector kernel now. So in the field theory, this is going to be according to the standard description. Variation with respect to the, now this is this non-normalizable mode that is the source. And so using the standard ADS-CFT restriction, one can derive, so remember the S parameter was given in terms of those. So one can derive that the expression S parameter, okay, is a better way. From this gravity duo is given in the following way. Now this is R, the radial variable, right? When it's argument, it's always the radial variable. Resounds the whole infinite tower of resonance that holds the other automatic expression for this parameter. And so now the question is to compute this. And well, for that, one only needs to solve the field equation for this pole, which was the field equation that comes from here. Once substitutes this expansion into this action. So then, well, the field equation. Yes, parameter in this full graphic description. This I should erase. So now we are getting to the gravity duo.
So in technicolor, you have to break the technicolor gauge at some point. Right, you're keeping SUNC here to be always.
Yeah.
So is that going to affect your S parameter?
I don't know what they mean by breaking. Do you have in mind like extended technicolor, or you can break it to the regular technicolor? So I'm not looking at that. The extended technicolor would be even some larger. I'm looking just at the. So I'm not, as I said, I'm not addressing the details of the technicolor sector. If you do that, then you need this extended sector in order to.
But well, so you have a technicolor sector for a gauge.
I have a gauge group, but I'm not addressing any questions of breaking them.
Okay, and it's not.
For the moment, I'm just looking at this S parameter. I haven't studied. There are many things one can study. I haven't studied anything else yet. I haven't even finished doing this.
Okay, sure.
I'm confused about this S parameter. So, some of your modes has to be related to a standard model electric weak gauge field. Some of your modes, you do the mode expansion. Some of them has to be like a weak gauge field, right? Because otherwise, why would this S parameter be any relevant?
But then
you're
doing
vague,
exactly.
Right.
So you may identify some of them, but shouldn't
be here. Yeah, but some of the modes will be related to
the
weak
gauge field.
Right?
Okay, I haven't done that.
Sure.
This is true for any gravity background that has these generic features that could be due to technicolor. So now, let me mention. There isn't too much time, but let me firstly mention the walking background. The existence of such a gravity background, such that the dual gauge coupling has this walking behavior, has been discovered quite recently, less than a year ago, in a paper by Nunes and some collaborators. Although they didn't study technicolor, they didn't study any flavor of brakes, just the gravity, the color background. So this is a recent paper. Numbers. And, well, if there isn't much time, let me just mention that the idea is that this gravity background, actually, they were, Nunes and various collaborators have tried to study over the years the formation of the Molossena-Nunes background. So, remember that Molossena-Nunes is obtained from having NC defined brains. And they are compactified on an S2. So in this way, one has a four-dimensional low-energy field theory, which at some higher energies becomes six-dimensional before even higher energies. So Nunes and collaborators have tried to study the formations of this background. So they have studied deformations such that one can try to introduce flavor brains which are backreacted. And well, for this case, when there are indeed some zero number of flavors that are backreactive solutions, things are rather complicated and one can only numerically extract some stuff. But what they found in the realm of all those studies was actually some background where the number of flavors is still zero, but it's a deformation of the Molossena-Nunes background, which is still a solution of the deformation that solves the 2B equation solution. have a little time, so let me just firstly remind. So for the Malo Sano, his background, just to give you a flavor of what connection that is. Okay, let me skip there. Some posters here. And age is also a function of R. Where these are S2 invariants, left invariants, one forms, and these are also one forms. Now, in this deformed background, what happens is that when some more raw factors appear, like in the deformed case, there will be also factors in the dimension R, this deformation, and still zero number of flavors. And also here, there will be one warp vector in front of where the indices go to 1 and 2, and then there will be another for the index. So there is no much time, so let me not be more explicit. But anyhow, and those functions, as the functions of the radius, phi, k, h, g, they can all be actually, one can derive some first-order equations that they should satisfy, which are also difficult to solve. But in some limits, one can find more explicit expressions. So now, what we have done, sorry, the last minute, but let me just mention that. So give me 5 minutes. So in this deformed Malo Sano, as they call it, the ground so in this background we have added shown that there is an embedding of the seven bar that has a U shape. U shape profile. Well, let me maybe first explain how the embedding goes. So the seven embedding is such that the sevens are spanning the x new directions that were going from 0 to 3. And, since I wasn't very explicit here, but here these can be expressed in terms of some variables. So, one can think of that as this here. So, also. R and is here. So the transfer space is the two sphere that is parameterized by theta and phi there. And the U shape profile that we found is the following. So, well, the embedding is first of all that this theta and phi are functions of R, so that one gets to the world volume, and the 7, And these two shapes are following. So beta is pi over 2. And phi is a solution of so tangent hyperbolic of phi. There's some constant here. And R naught is also another integration constant. This is not integration constant, this is from the background. R naught is integration constant. And the other integration constant has been set to 0. So now for R greater than R naught, there are two solutions. There are just two points on the equator of this sphere. And as one moves along the radius, the distance between those two points changes. And at R equals to R0, they coincide. So this is the U shape embedding of the D7 bar. And again, depending on time, so in this background, we've also computed those coefficients for determining the tuning equation that one wants to solve for psi dA, the non-normalizable modes which determine this parameter. And well, now we are trying to evaluate this formula that I wrote. Where okay, it's not here anymore. And how we're trying to evaluate now this formula for this parameter that is some constant. Finished yet the computation, so I cannot tell you the final answer, but we're at this stage to respect these functions and we're trying to solve the equation and give the final answer.
So you need a statement that the diagonal is constant in some direction?
Yeah. Yeah, so actually this complicated background has simple limits in the working regime and in the UVE regime. So in this working regime, indeed, the dualton is constant. And so in this working regime, one can find the U-shape. And in the UV regime, one needs to compute those so that one can evaluate the formula in the UV end.
So it doesn't run in the UV, and when it works, then does it run again in the infrared? I mean, that's the picture, right?
Yeah. So, no, the full background is quite complicated, and all those functions that determine it are not explicitly written in full generality. What is explicitly known is some first order equation that I satisfy. Each of them satisfies a separate equation. But they can be solved explicitly in those two units.
What?
I cannot put that infrared yet, so, but solving them explicitly in those two units, one can find them. In this, one can find there is the U shape, and in this region, one still sees two parallel sets of 7 bar, and also from here one can read off the coefficients that are necessary because this expression will be evaluated anyway in UVM. So it's not important that one doesn't know the expression for any R. You just have to know it. I don't know
how. Is it possible that the dualton is constant asymptotically? Like asymptotically, if I go into the UV, you have a flat D bar. That's a linear dualton.
But there is also infrared, which I haven't said anything about.
I don't care about infrared. We're talking about UV. I'm saying as I go to the UV, whatever your plots tell, they become irrelevant. What I will see a flat D5 brain. So I should go back to a six-dimensional little string theory which has a linear dilaton background. How is it possible that the dilaton is constant?
But the working regime is not going to infinity, right?
No, but that's what you said.
No.
There's still be, the working regime is intermediate.
How do you define your
working is in between, right? The UV is more than
no, when you compute correlates, you have to go to infinity. I don't know which sense it is to compute, you know, somewhere. How are you gonna if you use a ESCAT prescription to compute correlators, which is
what you are doing in order to extract success parameter, bash will have to go all the way to the bound.
But the where is here? I mean, this is a full expression. Where does it care what the development does? That's what is derived directly from the ADCP prescription.
But then I'm saying that that S parameter, what you're correlating to it, has nothing to do with the working technical problem. Because by the time you go to the boundary, it's no longer will be any of this working gravity or whatever you're talking about. It will be just that.
That's not true because, come on, this is the UV limit of the working background, which is different from if you had, say, 7 probes in the conical. That would have a different UV limit than this one.
Okay.
So the background knows where it came from, right? You're aware of the infinity, but it knows.
Do you agree that that? Are you saying that in that geometry, the R goes to infinity limit is linear geometry?
No, I don't agree with that.
Okay. I don't see how that's possible.
Well, I don't agree with that, but I can show you the paper. As I said, the background is quite complicated, so I don't know all the details of it. But I think that there are cases it's not, most definitely it's not.
I can believe that, you know, there is an intermediate regime before you go to the infinity where it looks like, you know, a constant delicon over a large range of scales. But as you go to the UV, I don't see how, you know, if you still have a D5 trace, how is it not linear?
Well, as I said, that's not actually my work, it's in that paper. But it's not, that I'm sure, it's not linear.
It is relevant because then I would claim you're computing as parameter and little strings here.
No, I'm not doing that.
So we've already had some of the questions, but are there any more questions?
I have a question. You see, after almost 50 years, you may soon know the rights of which some of the question is. By the way, this was done before any of you were born here, except me. Get this into perspective. So, when the LAC turns on, I know what to look for to check technical. And this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to do physics, verify the physics behind all the positions. What do I look for to check you? This whole graphic.
No, but technical, you don't even need to check. You know that it's not working, right? So you need something for working with your car. And the experimental limits, I think the best parameter should be something like, I don't know, 0.1 or something plus minus, whatever. So the point is that it has to be small, whereas the regular technicolor already gives something large. So, depends what I'll get in the end, right? But I'm hoping that the outcome will be in this range.
The point I'm making is that they may see nothing about proper TV besides the 12 quarks and leptons, possibly a hinge.
Yeah, okay, so in principle here one can also derive the tower of resonance.
So you have to look for experimental signatures.
Yeah, so.
Are you looking for brains?
No.
How do you know this works?
Well, I don't know at this point, but I don't know at this point whether that would be what is a model of what is realized in nature or not, but at this point I'm just looking for whether it's consistent with the known constraints, right? Because this is a known constraint that has been derived from the modern electric experiments, and so the regular power already contradicts that. So I'm just trying to show that this walking behavior would be compatible with this constraint.
But you are not.
But if you want to compute the power of resonance, that's a separate computation that also can be done, and then you can maybe move for those higher energies.
There's going to be a technoro which would show up in standard searches in walking
technoro.
And there's going to be a tower of resonances in WHPS scattering.
Yeah.
It's just standard signatures.
But the brains, why do I have to use brains?
No, that's
have any predictions. There are parameters
the
that are free. So the value of S parameters that she computes can be anything.
What do you mean she wraps
brains?
For the
S parameter, right? For example, in the third part of your talk,
when you wrap the probe brakes, it is a volume effect. That volume effect is not fixed by anything in your model, right? So you don't have, you cannot, you know, if we are honest, right? There is no number that will come from.
Well, that's not quite true, nowhere has any.
But can I ask a related question, okay, it's similar to what you said? In Technicolor models, the S depends on details of the model. Now,
yes.
Where are the details of the model hidden?
But the details are in the background. I haven't extracted everything about the dual group theory, so I cannot say anything more in detail. The details are in the background itself. Right. From studying a directly background, one can say very fixed model.
So, are you going to
so at this point, I'm not discussing the details of the dual technical or cube. Okay. I'm just staying with the direct side.
So, are you looking for a formula for S that will hold for any technical model such that tomorrow I come in and plug in the parameters
this
of
the model? This formula is holding for any model, right?
Sorry?
This formula is holding for any model.
Okay. And then I just have to plug in the details of the model and I'll have the number, correct?
Yeah.
Well, Lillian, I hope you'll be joining us for lunch. So we'll be time for more discussion. Let's thank her for a controversial but exciting talk.